He lets it go, deep middle. It's intercepted! Intercepted at the 30, back to the 40. Jordan Fuller to midfield and left side to the 40 in Tampa territory. He goes out of bounds. Fuller with the pick of Brady. Goff breaks the huddle, calls for it from the shotgun. Back to throw, swings it left. It's Akers who takes it in! The catch at the one and the touchdown in front of Kevin Minter, the linebacker. Van Jefferson first. Now Cam Akers with his first touchdown as a Ram. Brady back to throw. He spins it down the right side and intercepted. Intercepted by Fuller at the 30. His second of the game. He takes a knee. And that should do it for Monday Night Football. The rookie with two picks in Tampa Bay. Barner fields it at the 20. He's going to run it to the 25. Tackled by Johnny Muntz. As time expires, Johnny Hecker and the Rams kill the clock on a 27-24 road win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And with that victory, Sean McVay and LA are atop the NFC West, and they move up to second in the NFC standings.
Tom, you've come up with so many game-winning drives in the fourth quarter and overtime, Tom. So on a night like this, how disappointed are you in yourself?
Absolutely, yeah. I think that's a good word, disappointed, and I have to do a better job. Absolutely.
Yeah, Tom Brady liked to have that throw down the middle of the field to hit the safety right in the chest.
Right.
Like to have that one. Like to have that one back after all these years with a little pressure in his face, or a lot of pressure from last night. Ended up being a good Monday Night Football game as, once again, Tampa Bay just does not like home cooking in big games. Now we've seen it with the Saints, although they weren't embarrassed last night. End up losing. So the Rams 7-3, now tied with Seattle out in the NFC West. Tom Brady, two touchdowns, two picks, including a really, really bad one late where he's usually so good. The one thing that hurts him, though, my man just doesn't move, and it doesn't get any better in your 40s with pressure.
Right.
Just does not. Even though he's got a zillion weapons, he's got make-believe weapons. He's got so many weapons out there at tight end. And his new sweet love that he has, Antonio Brown, who hasn't taken him long to figure out, get that guy the ball a lot. And he's done it. But the story's kind of on the other side last night, wasn't it?
Yes.
With the receivers from the Rams and
right.
What they were able to do. So it was really...
Well, Jared Goff went 39 of 51 last night. Threw the ball a lot last night, but out of his 39 complete, or out of his 51 attempts, 28 of them were to Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods.
Yeah.
Like that's 13 targets for Cooper Kupp, 15 for Robert Woods. You could just tell where this offense flows through, and it's those two guys. Everyone else gets a little piece of the action, but those two guys. It's unbelievable how both guys could have games like that in the same game. Like, that says a lot about that Rams offense.
Well, I have figured this out, and I'm not part of your club, so I always start with that, your fantasy football general manager club.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get a lot of guys on both teams that are on everybody's team, you got a lot of star power, you got two good quarterbacks putting up good numbers this year, and you got those defenses that those two have, it's there are a lot of people staying up to watch that game. Because you had one player, two players, their defense, or any of those type of things. There were just a lot of guys. And by the way, I mean, we saw it down here when Kupp came down here. They throw him the football a lot. And listen, the guy's really good. Don't get me wrong. He is really, really a good player. But last night, I watched it and I went, you know, I'm looking at all this star power and I realize for the millions of people who play fantasy football, most of them don't just have one team. I'm guessing most people really into it like to have a couple of teams.
Right, of course. Right.
So you're going to have an interest in a game like that last night. Somewhere in that game, you're interested enough or enough, a tight enough match with somebody, game with somebody you're playing, that you're asking to stay up late and watch that game because of fantasy football last night, right?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. So, anyway, hey, listen.
You're talking about five wide receivers at minimum last night that people had on their teams. Both quarterbacks, more than likely both defenses too, because both defenses have played pretty well this year. So yeah, this was a fantasy game where I'm guessing there were probably 10 different players, including defenses, that were active in many, many lineups for fantasy
football. Let me ask you, how many fantasy football teams do you have, Zach, that you play in?
The two main leagues I'm in. That's okay. It. My two leagues.
What do you have? How many do you play in?
I'm just in two.
No, two. That's what I meant, though. Like, I just...
You'd be surprised. People are in a lot more than that. I just don't know how you do it. Two is enough for me, right?
Well, you're all set up, right? I mean, you got all set up on a computer. You're not doing it off your hand. You're not doing it like I would, where you're writing notes down and trying to figure stuff out and getting frustrated.
Those days are over. Yeah. Right. Those days are over.
So everybody's got their stuff set up and probably have it set up where it pops up, right?
Right.
Does the computer actually pop up all the stats? Like, you're down three. Oh, you're up seven. Right. Two of your guys just scored. Yeah.
Well, I told you, like, in my personal thing last night, I was waiting for the Chris Godwin touchdown at the end of the game, and I waited up until literally that happened to go to sleep, because I was playing against Mike Evans last night, and I had Chris Godwin, and that's the fantasy implication right there. You're two receivers on the same team going against each other, and that was the determination of the winner of my game last night. Right?
God bless. And by the way, on behalf of the National Football League, we would like to thank Fantasy Football because it keeps a lot of you.
Right.
You're not sure who you no longer root for teams. You root for individuals players on teams and might boo one guy on the same team and love the other guy on the other side that's a receiver.
When Mike Evans caught that touchdown, that was it. I was pissed off at Tom Brady and the entire Tampa Bay offense. And then when Chris Godwin cut his touchdown late in the game, the dirty one, I was as happy as can be. So you're right. I was rooting against Tampa Bay and for Tampa Bay in the same game.
Pretty damn crazy. And again, on behalf of the National Football League, we love fantasy football. Don't think the league doesn't love fantasy football. And pretty soon, they're just going to love gambling altogether as these rules change more and more. And the league gets into it and sees a big pot of money out there that they can have a piece of.
Right.
It's only a matter of time where the great phonies and frauds of professional sports are all going to be jumping in on some of that Vegas action, right? There is no question. Your old bookies are going to be outdated here pretty soon.
Right. You're right.
They're going to be going, damn, now the league's doing what we're doing. They don't have to hide it. It's legal. Shoot.
Right.
That's where we're going to be here.
Well, the NFL.com's got a huge, by the way, just on their own personal website, they run a huge fantasy league themselves. Like, they ran an entire program right off NFL.com. So they're getting closer to what you're talking about, when it's all going to basically be run off their own website. Forget about a different website. It'll be off their website.
I told you guys a few years ago not to sit here and beat people up first thing in the morning with a lot of stuff going on here in fantasy football, but as soon as I saw Hard Rock Stadium and the Miami Dolphins allowed everybody to grab a suite and have your own draft party for fantasy football, I knew when I saw the amount of people that showed up, from families to the guys that had been together in the different places of work together, to I saw doctor and lawyer money. They had their own put in there, and they were in there and ordered big, great food, sat in there overlooking the field and had their draft board and were running everything. I went, wow.
Right.
Look at this. This is
it's not a small business, Joe. Right, not a small business.
And asking me questions, which I said, listen, man, you're asking the wrong guy questions. He's a good player, but I can't guarantee you what that means, and I definitely don't know if he's going to stay healthy with the way everything's going. Well, we had the fallout of all the Tua stuff yesterday, and the Tua benching in the fourth quarter, Coach Flores talking yesterday, and we're going to jump on that here in just a second, as he's still the starting quarterback, because everybody knew they're getting ready to go out and play the Jets. And I just want to tell everybody, it's only Tuesday, but they are going to be in for an absolute dogfight against the Jets. I'm just telling them, oh, they're sucked. They suck. They couldn't beat a high school team. And we laugh, and they couldn't beat a college, you know, seven college teams can beat them. I'm telling you right now, they are going to be a really, really tough out. Tuesday morning, 6-0 what? I'm telling you, that's going to be a tough game. And if they play like they did, it's going to be right down to the wire like that last game, where you could either barely be up or be down a few points against that team.
Right.
I mean, I listen there. Oh, after they play the Jets and Cincinnati, I go, oh, you better hold on. Don't do that after stuff. This stuff ain't the top four teams in the country in college football going to beat up on somebody at the bottom of their conference. No. This has nothing in common. These guys are pros. They're going to play hard. They may not know how to win, but they are going to play their butts off. They may have their coaches make some questionable moves or calls or get too conservative like we saw the Jets against the Patriots, allow them way too much time. But it's going to be a dogfight. Jets are going to be jacked up playing the Dolphins.
Early line is 6.5, by the way.
I don't care if it's 12.5. I'm telling you, that thing is.
I mean, I couldn't disagree with you more.
Well, of course
you're insane. A close game with the Jets? Like, it's such an amazing overreaction to last week's game. That's what that is.
All right.
They played pretty well on offense last week against the Chargers.
They have played a lot better. Wood, I know, just looks at their record and says they suck.
I'm not just looking at the record, though. I know that they suck. I don't have to look at their record. I've seen them play. They're terrible in every aspect of the game. Like, to think the Dolphins aren't going to bounce back and beat them by at least a couple of touchdowns is insane to me.
The Bills kick a whole bunch of field goals, couldn't score a touchdown. They had the Patriots. I mean, they just gave that game away. That was their win. That was it. And then last week, they actually were able to come back. Of course, everybody comes back against the Chargers.
Right. Everyone makes it a one-score game against the Chargers.
I just think, I've been part of this. They were 4-12 one year, and everybody said how they sucked. And two of their four wins were against us.
Against the Dolphins, right. Yeah. This is Adam Gase's Super Bowl, too, so you know he's going to try. This is the one win he wants.
That's the problem, though. You are too close to this, Joe, and I feel like you feel like this is a trap game for some reason, but it isn't. But I just think because of the past, you feel like this is some kind of trap here.
1980 ruined me for this series. I'm telling you right now. I'll never forget Wesley Walker, the great wide receiver, one of the great deep threats in the history of the game, was a teammate of mine at Cal, a couple years ahead of me. And he came up to me after the game. He said, well, we both have something in common. And I was thinking, wow, what? What do you mean? You're a great player. I'm just glad to be here. And he goes, we're both going home. Like, there ain't no playoffs.
That's and the worst.
He goes, you know what? We didn't have a very good year, but we beat you twice. That's all that matters. And I was like, damn, man. That one. So anyway, hey, and by the way, they will show up, and we'll see. And so what happens if it's not that, and then you're going to start the Dolphins suck if they don't win by two touchdowns.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I know that they're going to win. That, by the way, that line will, I assume, will go up because other people are smart, too. They'll take the Dolphins.
I'll tell you the weird one. Sam Darnold, they say every week he's coming back for like the last 9 months.
Right.
I've never seen a guy that shoulder – we expect him back, and we know he's going to fight through this. And then I don't know what happens if the doctor says, Adam, not this week. No, not this week. So
Joe, they got a better chance to win if Darnold's in there. That's why Darnold's not playing.
Well, the other thing is, why would you play a guy that you're about to trade in the offseason?
Well, you got to give him some. You got to put a little resume together for him, don't you?
I'm going to tell you guys why. Nobody wants to go 0-16.
Right, I know.
I'm telling you. No, I don't.
Even if 0-16 gets you Trevor Lawrence?
Nobody wants to go 0-16.
Right.
There's not a coach or a player. Those are the only ones that matter. I don't know what the front office thinks. I can't speak for front offices. We've had so many damn front offices, I can't speak for them.
Right.
But I can tell you, there's not one coach or one player that goes, hey, I was a coach or I was a player on an 0-16 team. We are one of the most underachieving, worst coach teams. Nobody wants to do that.
No one's
man.
Admitting that, right? No one's admitting
1-15, like nobody talks about our 1-15 team. But if we were 0-16, we'd be in there with Cleveland and Tampa Bay. We'd be
Detroit.
Part of that family.
Didn't Detroit make
that
Detroit,
club also?
Right.
Detroit got
right.
one. Nobody wants to be 0-16. And so why we're saying tank for Trevor and tank for Tua and tank for Tommy and tank for Tinkerbell, I'm telling you right now, those guys – Frank Gore, This is not. Frank Gore's been all over. Like, hey man, I've had a Hall of Fame career. We got to win one game.
Can they like release him and just let him sign with someone else for the end of the season so that he doesn't go 0-16?
Because there's one thing.
The rest of that team, it's comical, but I don't want to see that happen to Frank.
There's one thing that Frank likes more than winning games. Getting carries and getting numbers, man. Right. He likes to get. And Adam Gase has been his. You got a handful of guys who are always going to like Adam Gase. And the leader in the club, it could be Frank Gore.
Yeah.
When everybody's bad-mouthing Adam Gase about, man, he was terrible. He's brutal. Where is he? He's a weirdo. You know, all the things that players say when they're together. Frank's going to tell him, hey, shut up. That's my guy. I mean, he has been. Listen,
you ever seen a coach take a faster fall than Adam Gase, though?
Oh, man. It's actually been kind of a slow and painful death, hasn't it?
No, he's talking about going from the playoffs at 10-6 to.
Yeah, if you have this guy's like stock chart, then. Like he's like skyrocketing, and it's just a straight plummet.
Yeah. Since that playoff year, it's just been nothing but bad since then.
But get Frank Gore off that team, man, please. Is there anything they can do? Can they waive him and like can he sign with someone else?
Frank's looking to get his 18 carries to 20 carries this week in a tight ball game. The tighter the ball game, the more carries he's going to get. And that's,
by the way, someone texted in, if the Dolphins lose to the Jets and cost the Jets the number one overall pick, I'm actually okay with that.
Joe doesn't have a good feel on this game because of past situations here, but the Dolphins will be fine.
But if somehow the Dolphins do lose this game and the Jacksonville and the Jets end up with that 1-15 record and they end up with the number two pick and not one, that's what this guy's kind of saying right here.
So the hardest thing is after the way you've played for more than a month, you play like that does scare me. I'm not going to lie to you. That more than past history is that
and now
team,
going into this game, right?
That team.
I can't believe you're doing this. You're nervous for this game. I can't believe it.
I absolutely 100%, I don't know, nervous, but very concerned as we go to break. Hey, when we come back, if you're wondering what Coach Flores had to say yesterday about Tua Tagovailoa and all the drama around it and the decision that he made and all the things nationally, we're going to have that for you when we come back and talk more about that. Right now, though, first thing in the morning, can't go one show without talking about somebody being injured, so we might as well talk about sports-related injuries because they happen to all of us. You don't have to be a professional athlete to have an injury. Everybody that's active in a team or individual sport goes through it sooner or later. We all get injured. Foot, knee, shoulder, back, oh my gosh, hand, toes, you know, something breaks, something gets fractured. Then everybody wants to go to the best doctors. Then somebody wants to go, let me guess, you want to go where you know they've seen your injury over and over again, right? And you want to know somebody's had a lot of success, that's had a lot of experience fixing it. Well, we're very lucky down here in South Florida. We have one of the top sports medicine programs in the country. I didn't say here in South Florida. It's a slam dunk down here where I go when I get injured and all my guys go, and I mean all the guys I play with all go down there. They trust Miami Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Institute, ranked top 50 best orthopedic hospitals in the nation by U.S. News & World Report. So, well, Joe, where do the pros go? Thank you. Enter Miami. Miami Heat, the Florida Panthers, and the Miami Dolphins, they all go Miami Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Institute because of those great doctors, the specialists, the surgeons they have down there. Get you back out quickly playing the sports you love. That's what they are. That's why they're sports doctors. Sports injuries, and they understand when you come in, the first thing you're... Am I going to be able to play my sport again? Absolutely you are. We're going to get you ready to go. We're all set up in Broward County. Dr. Swartzen's up there getting ready to open a couple of new facilities for you. We are jacked up, and we want you to see the best doctors and get the best results. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to make an appointment today. All right, welcome back, and good morning to everybody as we continue on here, getting set for a couple of days from Thanksgiving before we get into football again. And, well, we'll have a lot of games on Thanksgiving. And by the way, we got one team just loaded with COVID-19 and trying to figure out. And they're going, nope, they still got to play. Next guy up. Get rid of the other guys.
COVID-19.
Yeah, we're going to keep it rolling, man. So the league says, we promised you three games on Thanksgiving, damn it. We're going to get it to you while you're sitting there with your aunts and uncles and cousins, or maybe 2020, just hanging out with the family. Who knows?
Little Zoom Thanksgiving. And it might be a different kind of Thanksgiving this year, but one tradition will continue, and that's an NFL triple header on Thanksgiving. Texans and Lions, followed by Washington and the Cowboys, and wrapping up with Ravens Steelers. That's a really good game. Coverage begins at noon Thanksgiving Day, and it's right here, Joe, on AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2, The Joe.
There you go. We got the games.
I didn't know what tradition Zach was talking about. I thought he was going to say it to eating till he passes out.
For Thanksgiving like tradition. Out. It's more of like a three-meal kind of afternoon. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, I used to double up the first time around, and I've stopped doing that.
Yeah, I slow down, but it's instead of having, you know, quantity in the first, it's more of spreading it out and having kind of three smaller meals.
All I know is, Zach, I mean, I can't speak for you because I haven't seen you, but I ain't exactly losing weight on Thanksgiving.
No,
I mean, whatever.
It's not good.
Making it sound like it's going to be a break-even deal that day.
Yeah, you haven't been losing weight at all, though.
On the calorie count is not going to happen. Hey, we got some other stuff. We mentioned Coach Flores talked. I think everybody was kind of wondering after a day to kind of look back at the coaching and the decisions that were made, especially with benching Tua. Here's what Coach Flores had to say.
I mean, look, I'm always going to try to do what I feel is, you know, best for the team in a particular game. And that's kind of how we felt yesterday. And that's really it. We couldn't get into a rhythm, really, the majority of the first three quarters. It became a two-score game, and we felt like we needed a spark, and so we stuck Fitz in there. And we felt like that was the best thing for our team to try to win a ball game last night. Look, Tua's, you know, he's a resilient kid. I don't know if there's a message or anything to take from it. It's, you know, the same message the entire team gets. You know, we all have to play better. We've got to coach better. He's not in this alone. He's got my full support. He's got the support of our coaching staff. He's got the support of everyone, every player in that locker room. Conversely, he supports all the other players in the locker room as well. So I don't know if there's a message here or, you know, make too much of this. He's the starting quarterback. I think he knows that. We've had that conversation. He's played well, and, you know, I expect him to continue to play well. I expect him to bounce back. You know, he's a resilient kid, like I've said. He's a talented kid as well. I expect him to bounce back. I expect our entire team to bounce back, to be honest with you.
All right, so I guess the other part of that question is going to be, we get in that situation again in these last six games. Are you going to do the same thing if it's not going well, or do you just let Tua finish it out and get that experience of even a fourth quarter of being down a couple of touchdowns or what he how he might handle it any differently? So
I think the better question is there a leash on Tua right now?
Like leash like what?
Like a short leash, like if something does happen and you're getting to the third quarter, midway through the third or towards the end of the third, and you got nothing going, can he be pulled again?
No, that's what I just said. No,
but you know what I'm going to say, but that should have been a question yesterday of, like, what's the rest of the season going to look like with Tua? Like, is there a possibility that this could happen again in the game? And I'm guessing the answer is yes. Because if we see what we've seen from Flores in the last season and a half, whatever it is altogether, since the first game he came here, since the first practice, there is one thing that you say all the time that is 100% true. Guy's all about winning. Doesn't matter. There's no tanking. There's no this. There's no that. That's fine. But is there a possibility that in this Jets game, if they got nothing going midway through the third, Jets defense playing well, Dolphins offense kind of stagnant, not moving at all, is there another chance for Fitz to come in these games at the end of these games to be the closer?
They go through this the second week, and
right,
we got issues. We're not where we thought we were. If we can't move the ball a little bit and play better overall. Tua, by the way, didn't get helped a whole lot with any other part. Hey, I know we don't do this much. Denver had a great game plan. Like, put in some new run plays. that worked to the outside, to the right side, saw something on the right side and just fell in love with it. Pulling people, counters, all the things that they did. They just absolutely took Jakeem Grant quietly. We barely mentioned it. Jakeem Grant was trying to catch the ball over on the sideline because that's all they did was kick it out. They were, their special teams weren't very good, and their coach said, listen, we're not very good on special teams. Punt the friggin' ball right out of bounds. I don't want to have to worry about coverage. If he catches it, he's got to catch it keeping his feet in bounds like he's making a catch on the sideline. So a lot of smart stuff, man. They had a really, really good game plan. I don't know what they did to run so many games that confused us up front for our offensive line to struggle. And then on top of that, Tua struggled as well. So it was a bad combination. And so I guess we'll see Zach down the road. I'm not right, sitting here right, and I have no idea.
No, I know. There's no one has the answer to that right now because
it's probably going to pop up again, though. Right. No reason to think it won't in the last month and a half. That we're going to be in that situation, and I wouldn't put it past the coach. I mean, if you're asking, I wouldn't be surprised if he put Ryan Fitzpatrick back in there.
Right.
If he thought he had a chance to win the game. He said he's resilient. He's not worried about his confidence. And I agree, you probably can get away with it a little bit, but I wouldn't make a steady habit of it where you start looking over your shoulder. Right. Every time.
The last thing you want Tua to do, correct?
And then you got problems, you got questions that are unanswered and all the other things. Now listen, man, he's already got a nice little resume what he did in Arizona. I mean, just has played well, but the stinker of stinkers where he had to make plays and didn't get any help from his buddies on either side. I mean, outside of the Dolphin defense doing enough to keep him in the game. With the takeaways and a fourth down stop, it was a lonely day out there, man. Where they made that decision, and it was interesting to hear everybody's comments yesterday as well. Everybody giving their take on it, and at this point, like I know Coach Flores doesn't. I know for a fact he doesn't pay attention to any of this stuff. He really doesn't. He's got to be told what people are saying. He doesn't even have kids old enough to tell him. Like some of our coaches in our front office have coaches, have kids in high school. And so I also know for a fact that they come home and if their kids didn't hear it directly, they get it from one of their buddies and it gets back what people are saying and who's saying it. But this will be interesting to see how they bounce back against a team that hasn't won a game and used to be the number one rival they have. I guess it still is, but it gets frustrating, obviously, when you have a game like you just did. Hey, by the way, when we come back, we got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning. Something that I got to ask you guys, you're all excited about here recently, and I want to find out if you're still really pumped up for another event getting ready to take place this weekend. So we'll have that for you. Coming up here a lot more. Goran Dragic, we'll hear from Goran coming up. We got more from the Dolphins. And so we got a lot of stuff here on the show. Monday Night Football last night. The Rams take care of Tampa Bay on the road. Yeah, good win for the Rams. Tampa Bay again. Tom Brady just like looked like an average dude last night. Right now, I want to talk to you about something that's not average. Never. That's your South Florida Chevy dealers. Listen, man, things are real good at your South Florida Chevy dealers. And when they are like they are right now with the best overall products we've ever had from top to bottom, more space, better safety features, great prices, and an unbelievable look. Cars, trucks, and SUVs, best it's ever been. Talk about figuring it out and continue to get even better looking and sportier like the new Tahoes or the new Suburbans smoking with great deals behind them. And not just that, but how about all those Silverado trucks? I love talking about trucks. If you live down here in South Florida, a lot of people working out of those trucks, right, for extra money right now. Need a truck, need something you can afford, but you need something strong, but yet can work for the family. Let me tell you, Silverado's got the perfect truck for your lifestyle. I promise you that. Come over, take a test drive, and sit down with one of our pros at Chevy and get yourself a fantastic deal. And then let's talk about mid-size SUVs like the new Traverse. Maybe it's more sporty like the Chevy Blazer. What a great look. And our smaller SUV, the Equinox. All smoking hot. I don't have time to take you through the whole lineup, but it's never looked better and never been better overall products than we have right now for you at your South Florida Chevy dealer. It's a holiday season. Go out and take some test drives at your South Florida Chevy dealer. We got locations in Dade, Broward, and Monroe County. Find new roads at your South Florida Chevy dealer today.
I-60 The Joe wants you to see a Dolphins game at Hard Rock Stadium, courtesy of Dade County Federal Credit Union, the preferred credit union of the Miami Dolphins. For more information, go to fincu.com. If you want a chance to win those Dolphins tickets at Hard Rock Stadium, log on right now to WQAM.com. The home of the Dolphins is AM560, FM96.5, HD2, The Joe, WQAM, and streaming on radio.com.
All right, so I want to ask you guys a question. You guys brought it up, and you guys are all pumped up about Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. So I found out something yesterday that I wasn't aware of. For all you people out there going to pay basically $50 on pay-per-view this weekend to watch it. First of all, did you know that they were both called in more than once to say, this is not a boxing match. We don't want anybody knocked out. This is an exhibition match. 8 3-minute rounds, no judges, be smart. We're not looking to see anybody get hurt or knocked out. And I'm like,
I did not know that.
So outside of Mike Tyson doing whatever he wants and going crazy in the ring and screwing it up for those guys, which, you know, at that point, I don't know what they do if he decides to go Mike Tyson on him, which he could.
Right.
But if he doesn't, why would you pay $50 to watch a couple 50-year-old guys
spar in a ring together and not really hit each other? Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense, Joe. And so they kind of left some of that stuff out. You just went, you saw they do say exhibition, but I think people weren't real clear on what exhibition really meant. And they got called in again recently and said, listen, guys, we hear what you're saying. Love that you're promoting it. And Mike Tyson saying, you know, I want to knock your head off. And Roy Jones saying, I don't know if I realize what I was getting into, and it's kind of changed. So they have sat down with them and said, do not look for knockout punches. So I'm like, well, if you're not getting a knockout punch,
I'm out.
Right. Why would somebody pay $50? They're paying. Honestly, if everybody's to tell the truth, they're paying $50 to either see Roy Jones hit Tyson on the chin and drop him, or probably, preferably, Mike Tyson to knock out Roy Jones.
Right. I'm going with option B on that one. I don't even think option A is really a realistic kind of chance. Even though Roy Jones is Roy Jones, that's fine. If Tyson just connects on one punch, it's over. If he still has that one hit, that's what you're looking for with this, right?
Well, he can throw it. I mean, you see him even at this age. I wouldn't want to spar with the guy.
No.
He hit me in the gut. It would be like, take me to the hospital. Something's wrong. So
So you're basically just playing, you know, a little, you know, guys are just going to be dancing around the ring for a while. That's what they want. That's what they want you to pay for. No, thank you.
The only thing I don't know, like, are there still bets in Vegas? Like, do you believe Mike Tyson will follow the rules? Outside of that, I guess, why would you bet on it? Like, what can you bet on?
Why would you bet on it? I mean, that's the only reason you'd watch that thing is if you had money riding on it.
Right.
So
I could not watch that event if I didn't have some sort of betting interest in that.
But they kind of left out all the stuff. And then I'm watching Dana White yesterday, and the guy was telling Dana White, and he goes, really? He started laughing. He goes, what? And he's tight with Mike Tyson. And he goes, I didn't know any of this stuff. He kind of was chuckling, you know? Like, yeah, boxing's kind of screwed up is what he was saying. But I just like, so you're bringing back two of the great ones, and Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. And it's an exhibition with no judges, and they've been told and policed by the head of this event, do not try to knock each other out. We won't. Now, if they do, and I wonder if Tyson does something crazy and really lights them up and drops them, if they stop the fight and go, that's it, you broke our, you know, I don't know.
Well, I can imagine if they're already talking before, you know, days before, whatever it is, about the fact that, yeah, this is just going to be an exhibition, no one's going to be knocking people out, that if somebody does go for it at that point, that they will stop it.
I just...
That's got to be... It's just so stupid. What's the
Somebody
point
out there got to tell me why. You could be the biggest Roy Jones Jr. and Mike Tyson fan, and Mike Tyson is still super popular. Probably as popular as any former active boxer we have. I mean, he really is. I believe that. I saw him watching his daughter take tennis lessons and just watch the reaction from everybody. So I just,
well, the younger generation knows him too because of his, you know, fine work in the Hangover movies.
That's true. And by the way, give the guy credit. He's really changed his image, and the stand up that he did was actually kind of funny there. I thought it was kind of funny.
You finally watched that one, the Broadway one that he did?
Yeah, I did.
It was awesome, wasn't it? I thought it was great. I thought he did a really nice job with it.
But this is just... So I just want to say to every guy that pays out there, it's going to pay 50, wants a little entertainment. And by the way, there's a card of other fights and, you know.
I think Nate Robinson's on.
Oh, yeah, Nate's fight.
Yeah, don't call it a card.
right.
There's going That's to be like different. A divorceable offense almost, like to spend $50 on the cable bill for that.
Yeah, that's bad.
I mean, this is just
$50 for this stuff, and I think a lot of people don't realize what they're getting, because let's be honest, they got other people on the card, but they're only really promoting Mike Tyson and Roy Jones.
Of course. Of course.
What are they, basically, oldies but goodies, what are they going to look like in their 50s?
And Joe, who's paying $5 to watch Nate Robinson box? Forget about you. How else? You can't. There's nothing else
I don't
to promote.
Know. But that guy that he's fighting, I want somebody to knock that guy right on his ass. I'm tired of that guy. Who's that
guy? The internet guy.
Yeah,
right? Like,
Jake Paul.
Yeah,
that's
Jake,
it. Right?
Something Paul. One of those. There's like three of them.
I need a rapper or a singer or somebody, or just knock him, that was a former boxer, to knock him on his on his butt, like once and for all. But anyway.
There you go, so, Joe. Pay your $50. You watch him get punched in the face.
Right.
I'm not, but I just think a lot of people have been misled on this Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr., waiting for the great knockout, which, if it does happen, it's been told that it's not supposed to. Friggin' exhibition? 3-minute rounds? Guys, get some good shots in there, but let's be smart.
But don't go at full strength, right? But don't go at full strength, because you might knock a guy out. No, I'm good.
And the other part of it is, like, I just don't see Mike Tyson only knows one way to fight, and it's not spar. I mean, Mike Tyson is, there's no way he's just going to take shots to the body. He's going to try to hit you on the chin. He's going to try to drop you. Right? I mean, I don't see a Mike Tyson, you know, and right now he's just pumping everything up, and, you know, they're talking about, well, you know, we want to knock each other out, and then we find out behind the scenes they're being told, you can't do that. It's an exhibition. Just, I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
By the way, we'll find out. Watch, it'll be like one of the greatest knockouts of all time, and they break the rules, and everybody's upset except the people that bought it, going, yeah, I got what I thought I would. I knew Mike Tyson wouldn't let me down. Great job, Mike. Man.
I'll tell you what. I'll only be upset if we find out that afterwards on ESPN that night, or whatever the case may be, that just Mike just drilled him and laid him out in the middle of the ring. Like, that's the only reason why I'll be like, oh, I can't believe I missed that.
Well, if there was one guy
that could go crazy and do that, it's Mike Tyson, right?
That would not follow the rules and say F it at the end of the thing, like he didn't care or he doesn't care, because we've seen him do it over and over again.
Yeah.
It'd be Mike Tyson. The question is, he's a little more mature now. He's mellowed out, but I'll tell you what, the way he's throwing those punches when he's in there sparring, that's a bad mofo. That might be the baddest 50-year-old man we've ever seen right there.
Well, three texts that came in said, so what's the difference between this and a Floyd Mayweather fight? Another one said, this sounds like the description of every Mayweather fight we've talked about.
That's true.
Another one said, I wouldn't even pay $50 if they were going full speed. Two 50-year-olds, no thanks.
Yeah. It is a good point. Floyd just moves around and guys can't hit him, and just hits him with jabs and marks up their face. And their eyes are swollen and they got red marks all
it's
over.
It's not a
from
good point.
Jab.
Floyd fights he fights other like fighters. Like he's actually like an active fighter. He's just Floyd really doesn't. Good. I mean, this is a circus
right.
fight. I mean, Conor McGregor is the exception, but like Floyd's other fights, I'm sorry if you're not entertained by them, but that's just because he's so good.
No, I don't think Floyd's fights their last few years very entertaining. He stopped knocking people out.
Right.
He just marked them up. I mean, they look like they got knocked out when he gets done with them because he's such a talented friggin' guy. Boy, did he make some money. My God. Oh, Lord, did he make money.
Ridiculous.
Huh?
The ridiculous amount of cash, right.
By the way, the difference in the UFC, which I'm starting to come around on, I just got to learn the names and who these guys are and the fact that if a guy fights and knocks somebody out quickly, he can fight like the following week because he didn't get that much work in. So you could just keep going. And if you get the crap knocked out, you got to wait a while. Like, we got all these top heavyweights. When are they going to fight? We got a fight over in England. When is it going to happen? Stay over there and fight, by the way.
Haven't half of them lost already since they've been trying to figure these things out?
Right.
We got one, honestly, I pay for right now. I pay for a couple of the heavyweight fights. Not the Mexican fighter. My man.
Ruiz, right?
I think he got his money. I'm done with him. Anyway, we got to go to break here. We got a lot more stuff to get to. Yeah, why aren't those two guys fighting over there, man? What are you going to wait? Till you're like 80, like Pacquiao and Mayweather.
Mayweather, right. 10 years
too late.
Waited
like 8 years, like, frick. Why do these guys fight when you're both in your prime? All right, well, let's talk about something good. Giving back, thankful for things. How about we need your help at Chapman Partnership, and this is kind of down to the wire here, as Thanksgiving's right around the corner. I told the folks at Chapman Partnership I wanted to talk about it today and see if we can't get some more people to donate to it. Chapman Partnership, two homeless facilities down in Dade County, but they provide so much more than a warm meal and a shelter. They really do. And as you know, 2020's been rough for a lot of different causes out there, but once you see the work they're doing at Chapman, really, their job has been to help the homeless on a path towards self-sufficient life through comprehensive care. That's bottom line. Is help them, rehab them, get them back out on their own with their families. So while this is going on, we always need your help. So this month, Chapman Partnership's kicking off its Thanksgiving drive, and we're hoping that you can help us. So please join me at 560 QAM this holiday season and share your treasure and help feed our more than 800 men, women, and children that we have in our two facilities for only $100. You can help feed a family of four, three hot meals a day. All right? So that's... Once again, for only $100, you can help feed a family of four, three hot meals a day. If you can, today, tomorrow, tonight, if you have time, please take a look and see how you can help Chapman Partnership. Go to, if you can, visit chapmanpartnership.org. That's chapmanpartnership.org. And see how you can get involved. And if you can do the $100, really appreciate it, knowing it's going to help feed these families for a long time. Thank you so much.